We at the First Pentecostal Church of God would like to thank you for taking the time to listen to the message that God has revealed to our church. We are praying for this message to encourage you and strengthen you for His service. May God richly bless you as you listen.
Patience pays off. Patience pays off. Have you ever gotten advice that you just hated? You ever been going through something and you just needed some real good advice? And you hit somebody up and said, hey, I'd like to spend a little time with you. And you were hoping that in spending some time with them, their advice might, fix your problem. Come on, I know I'm not the only one that's been there. Isn't it amazing that when we go looking for advice, we're really not looking for advice, we're looking for a problem fixer. We're looking for someone to fix the problem, but usually when we want advice, we want it in a deep struggle. We want it in a horrible trial. We want it in a storm. We want it when things are not as rosy as we would like them to be. And so we go to someone and we ask them for advice and we say, you tell them the story, you tell them the circumstance, you tell them the situation, and they sit there with looking like they have the greatest wisdom to give you. They even scratch their chin as they're about to give it to you, and you're waiting for the answer and you're thinking it's going to deliver you, or you're thinking it's going to empower you, but all of a sudden they look at you and say, just be patient. Am I the only one that kind of advice just irks? I mean, that kind of advice is not the advice. Have you ever tried to tell a teenager, be patient? He ever tried to tell a young adult, oh, you just got to slow down and be patient? You know, I am a very fast-moving person. I just kind of go until I can't go no more. Then I fall down for a day, and then I go after that day. And my wife will testify that I'm probably one of the most impatient people she knows. Because when I think about it, I wanted it done yesterday. Now, I'm kind of a product of my society. Even my food has to be fast. Amen? That's why we have restaurants called In and Out. You know, that's why Burger King came out with an advertisement, have it your way right away. Amen? Playing to the impatience of people. In our society, we do not understand patience. Matter of fact, we don't like patience. We don't pray for patience. We don't ask for patience, because you've ever heard the old cliche, if you pray for patience, you're going to be tried like fire. So patience is not on our list of top things of a virtue that we want to obtain or look to. We want it right then. And often when we go seeking advice, we're seeking advice because we want deliverance or victory right then. But patience is often required for greatness to be obtained. We don't want to wait for it, but M.H. Lount. He said this. He said, God's best gifts come slowly. He said, we could not use them if they did not. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? God's best gifts, they don't come to you in a thunderbolt. No, that's miraculous moving. Some of the greatest wisdom that the elders of our church have attained, they didn't attain by a lightning bolt that just came and struck them, and all of a sudden they were walking in wisdom. No, it was through time and patience. It was through that. It was through the waiting. It was through the time where they just waited on God to understand a circumstance. I read a cute little poem. Matter of fact, I kind of memorized it when quoting it to my wife this week. It says this: patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman, never in a man. And boy, ain't that true. But the Bible has a lot to say about patience. The psalmist said, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The Bible said, psalmist said, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Isaiah put it this way. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The writer of the book of Hebrews said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We as the children of God have got to learn to be patient, to endure. Most Christians don't understand what it means to endure hard things. We want deliverance. We want victory. And God says, endure. David, Paul said to God, there was sent a messenger of Satan to buffet me. I prayed 3 times for God to deliver me, but God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. He's telling Paul, be patient, Paul, and endure it. There's nothing wrong with being patient. There's nothing wrong with somebody ask you, where do I go? What do I do? If you look at them and you just quietly say, be patient. Because there's power in waiting upon God. The Bible said that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, but that he trusted God. When God said, I'm going to give you a son, he was 100 and his wife was 90. The Bible said he did not even consider the deadness of his wife's womb. He did not even consider his own physical body. But he staggered not at the promise of God. He's still waiting for a promise at 100 years old. He's still waiting for a promise for Sarah's baby at 90 years old. For most Christians, they'd have gave up. For most believers, they'd have said it's too late. For most people, they'd have complained God so bad about God, they'd have quit him a long time ago. But not Abraham. He didn't charge God, but he waited on God. He was patient for God. And there come a day when God sent a son, and that son's name was Isaac. Just a little side point, because I think it's really cute. You remember when God came to Abraham and reaffirmed his message to Abraham, and Sarah was in the tent and she laughed. When she had a baby, they named him Isaac. Do you know what it means? It means laughter. It's like God up in heaven getting the last laugh, you know. Just makes me go, we got to wait on God. We got to wait. Sometimes waiting is not the problem. Sometimes the problem is our impatience because we want it now. We want it now. We want it now. And when we don't get it now, we resort to what? Complaining. We resort to whining. We resort to God must not hear me. We resort to God must not be there. We resort to, well, maybe God isn't healing. God doesn't care about me anymore. Maybe God has given up on me. No, the patient believer doesn't allow doubt to come in, but the patient believer will endure hardness, will endure struggles, will endure storms, will endure trials, will endure snake bit, will endure being shipwrecked, will be endured by being beat with rods, will endure crosses, will endure the storms, will endure the cold, will endure a Philippian jail cell. We'll endure a desert. We'll endure it all. Because when God's people learn to wait on him, they find God to be faithful. James, he had something to say about patience. This is why we don't like patience, is because growing in patience is very difficult. One man said a prayer. He said, God, give me patience, but give it to me now. James said that our patience grows by the trying of our faith. Patience grows by the trying of your faith. See, some of you are like, I don't understand why I'm going through this. Some of you are, I don't get it. Why am I falling apart? Why is everything collapsing around me? Why is it so difficult? The trying of your faith is working patience. You see, when you're not able to pay your bills and it affects your spiritual life, there's a test in the faith. Amen. When you're not able to get things accomplished in the physical realm, but it affects the spiritual realm, it is a test of your faith. I've seen Christians for many years come up to me and say, I want you to pray for me. I am struggling. I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to quit. And you know what? The first thing I'm thinking a lot of times is that God is trying to put some endurance in them, put some patience in them, make them so stable that they won't be worrying about the storm anymore. They'll see a storm and they'll say, well, my God brings me through many storms. You know, there's some Christians in here. Now listen, there's some Christians in here, believers in this place, that have been through so many storms that another one just looks like a little bit of rain, looks like a little bit of drizzle, because they've endured so much and God's put that in them. Listen, you've got to understand that the storms of your life are God's way of putting faith in you, putting patience in you, growing endurance. How are you going to get strong unless there's resistance? Amen. A bodybuilder don't get strong eating Cheerios. He don't get strong playing video games. He don't get strong messing around on the watching television, sitting on the couch. He gets strong in the gym with something heavier that he can't lift, and he pushes with all his might. He gets stronger as he takes the curl bar and he pulls it up with all of his might, and until his muscles are fatigued, until the next day he's in pain because of what he's endured. Patience is a resistance. If you're going to grow in it, you're going to face resistance. I read a story. I got to get to preaching here. I'm only in the introduction. I'm getting somewhere. Don't worry. Told you, I've been waiting for about 2 weeks now, so you're getting the gist of it here. There's an old traditional Hebrew story. Not necessarily a biblical story, but a real cute story. I thought you might like it. Abraham seen an older gentleman coming out of the desert, and he sitting in his tent, and so he said to the elder gentleman, come into my tent and get out of the sun. And he got him out of the sun, and he was sitting in the tent. And Abraham commanded to get food for this man. He was tired and weak from lack of food and lack of water. And they began to feed him, and they began to give him water. And Abraham sitting there as the food was being delivered to him. And the man didn't even pray or nothing. He just started eating. And Abraham said, don't you reverence God? And the man said, I have only one God, and that's fire, and no other gods. Abraham, aggravatingly troubled by what he said, grabbed the man, threw him out of the tent, told him to move on. God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, my friend, where's that man that came to you? He said, well, I sent him on his way, God. He don't respect or reverence you. And God said, well, I've been putting up with him for 80 years. You couldn't put up with him for one night? Aren't you thankful God's patient with you and I? That's what I'm trying to get across to you. Aren't you thankful that God is patient with you and I? God is so patient with us. Sometimes we would have done thrown us away a long time ago. Come on, I know I'm not the only one that's been there. Well, you would have thrown it away a long time ago. You would have gave up. But listen, God is not you. He don't give up on people like you give up on people. He don't give up on you like you give up on you. Some of you quit a long time before God ever quits on you. You quit before you die. God don't even ever quit until your last breath is taken. He's patient with humanity. Now think about it, this story. Caleb came out of Egypt's bondage. He was a slave in Egypt. So when he came out, he was there at the Red Sea. He was there when the water flowed from the rock. He ate the manna that came down from heaven. Wandered in the wilderness with the tribe of Israel. He was a part of all of that. He experienced all of it. And then when it came time to spy out the land, he goes to the land. He sees the giants. He sees the Anakims that live there. He sees the cities. He sees Jericho. He also sees the fruit of it. And the 12 spies come back, and only two of them have a good report. One of them is Caleb, and one of them is Joshua. And the other 10 may cause the other people of the tribes of Israel, their hearts to faint, and they don't possess it. Now, Caleb said, let's go get it. He had a good report. But unfortunately, it rains on the just and the unjust. The verdict came down from heaven. God was angry, and he said, you're all going to die in the desert, you wicked, vile, unbelieving people. He said, you're going to die in the desert, but Caleb, he's going to live. What a prognosis. Caleb's going to live. 40 years of wandering in the desert, watching people die. That means Caleb's family died. Caleb's friends died. Caleb's, maybe his buddies died. He watched them all drop in the desert as they wandered for 40 years in the desert. It wasn't until Joshua went into Canaan's land that Caleb reemerges. He was 40 years old when the verdict came down from God. He's 85 in chapter 14 of Joshua. 45 years later, you can't even wait 20 minutes on a hamburger. 45 years later. 45 years later. Let me get that into you. 45 years later. Sometimes we read the scripture and we think, well, this happened, you know, one day, and this was on Monday, and on Friday they went in. No, it wasn't like that. It was 45 years for Caleb to ever even look at his promise. You talk about patience. You talk about patience. You talk about endurance. Having to deal with the hot sun, having to deal with the battles. Listen, Caleb was fighting the wars with Joshua just like everybody else was. He's in there fighting, but he hasn't got an inheritance yet. But then we get to Caleb chapter 14, verse 6. And the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest. Oh man, it's reckoning time, church. Thou knowest. You know what God told Moses. Maybe I'm the only one that gets the power in that. Have you ever grabbed a hold of the promise and didn't just claim it, but you almost demand it? This is what Caleb's doing. He says, you know what God promised me. You know what is mine. You know my inheritance. You know what God spoke concerning me on the other side. And Caleb was patient because of his promise. You want to know something? I don't understand why Christians are not patient, because they've got great promises. Amen. I've got a great promise. This is not my home. I'm just a pilgrim passing through this land. I've got a home that's high up in the sky. I've got a home in heaven. I've got a home beyond this place that is a promise. So I am patiently enduring the trials, the tests, the storms, the deserts, the hardships, the hungers, the pains. I'm patiently enduring all of that I might obtain the promise. Every Christian must do the same. The Bible says it's they that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. What he's saying is it's them that are patiently enduring the hardships of life that are going to see the salvation that is at the end. You see, church, Caleb waited 45 years, not because he's sitting there twiddling his thumbs, not knowing what's going on. He's figuring out, if I wait long enough, I'm going to get the promise. You know, God don't speak something and it not come to pass. The Bible puts it this way: he is not slack concerning his promises. But when he makes a promise, he fulfills it. When he says it, it happens. If he blesses it, it's blessed. If he curses it, it's cursed. If he lifts it up, it's lifted up. If he puts it down, it's put down. God will fulfill his word. He is bound by his word. He operates only and solely through his word. And Caleb was patient strictly because He was looking for his promise. We as Christians forget the promise, see only the storm. We see only the desert. We see only the circumstances, and we forget the promise. Because of what we see, because we're not looking beyond the storms, we're not looking beyond the circumstances. We're a right now people. Right now. God, right now. God, right now. But God is sometimes not a right now God. He may not come on your time, but he'll be right on time. He may not do it the way you think it ought to be done, but he'll certainly get it done. God has that ability to take care of all that you're going through. But some things you've got to be patient. You ever heard that old saying, good things come to them that wait? Caleb said, this is my promise. I've been waiting for it. You know what's been said. Let me read verse 7 and 8. It said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord. The promises of God are not for the weak-hearted. They're not for the double-minded man. They're not for the person who's flaky in one minute, out the next. They're not for the Sunday morning tag a church pew attender. No, it is for the person that says, God, my heart is fixed on pleasing you. My heart is wholly following you. The psalmist said, David said, my heart pants after him like the deer panteth after the water. This is a heart that wholly follows God. A heart that says, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do despite the way it makes me feel, despite the way it makes me look, despite what others might say about me, despite how others might view me, I'm still going to do your will, oh God. Jesus said, I've come to do your will, oh God. The truth is that many Christians today are not patiently waiting because they are not wholly following. They are partly following God. They follow God in a service of half-heartedness, and they are double-minded. If God will bless me, then I'll serve him. Why can't you serve him if he bless you not? Why can't you serve him if it's hard? Why can't you serve him? You know what? I'm tired of limp-wristed Christians who say they love God, and then one moment they're out, and the next they're in. They're only serving him when there's fishes and loaves, but they're not serving him when he's on a cross. We love Jesus for the great things he does for us, but do you love him when he says, take up your own cross? Do you love him? Do you wholly follow him? Patient Christians are wholly following God, and they can receive this message. But there are people this morning who are not wholly following God. They're partly serving God. They're making up their mind. They're in that in-between mode. They're right there and they're not there. They're there and then they're not there. They're kind of up and they're down. And you've been there for many years, some of you. Some of you have been there for decades. Some of you grew up in it. And that's the way you've been for many years. But I'm trying to get you to do something different. I'm trying to get you to make up your mind this morning to say, God, I'm going to be like Caleb. I'm going to wholly follow God. Whether or not it's going to look good amongst the family and friends, I'm going to wholly follow God. Don't come crying to God when you're falling apart because of your sins. We reap what we sow. I don't know why I'm suffering with the police department. Well, quit driving drunk and you won't suffer anymore. I don't know why my brain doesn't think properly. Well, get off the opiates and it might help. I don't know why I can't be faithful to church, because you're faithful to everything else but it. There's a power in wholly following God. Listen, you can't tap into the promises of God until you are wholly following God. Are you going to claim the blessings of God living a worldly lifestyle? Really? Are you going to quote his word with authority, knowing that the word has authority, but yet you yourself are not living the word you quote? There's got to be a holy following God. God's promises belong to them that wholly follow him. Don't worry, I'm almost done. I'll be finished in a moment. Verse 10. It says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Look at your neighbor and said, he's kept me alive. The Lord has kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, I am this day fourscore and 5 years old. As yet am I as strong this day as I was in the day Moses sent me. And as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Do you know that when we wholly follow the Lord, he will preserve you? He will keep you. I love my God because when I'm down and I'm falling apart, I know that it's not to my shame or to my destruction. That's why Paul said we can be perplexed but not destroyed. That's why he gave us those words. That's why we know that we can be in hard times but still be victorious. That's why we can be in a storm and know that God still has control. That's why we can be in a desert and still see manna. That's why we can be in a Red Sea and watch it part, because God is a preserver. He preserves them that wholly follow him. He preserves them that are following him with their whole heart, saying, okay, God, I want you to make up your mind this morning 100% to say, okay, God, okay, I'm done playing games. I'm done fooling around. I'm done messing around. I'm done making mistakes. I'm done with the failure. I pray you end the failure this morning in an altar of prayer. I pray that you get victory, because God's a keeper. He's a preserver, and he'll keep you the rest of your life. Caleb said, the Lord has kept me alive. Everybody's dying around me, but I've been preserved. I love that about God. Everybody's dying, but I'm still here. Caleb, my friends, they've died, but I'm still here, Caleb. Joshua, I'm still here, Joshua. Everybody else has died around me. But Joshua, the Lord, you know what the Lord has said to me. He's my preserver. He's the one who's kept me. Because I have holy fire. Listen, that's a promise, church. That's a promise. When I get to heaven, I'm not concerned about what Jesus is going to say. I know what he's going to say. He's going to say, well done, thou good, thou faithful servant, because I'm holy, following God. God, there's no doubt, there's no fear. I've got a preserver on my side. Some Christians have reason to fear when they die, because they've served God double-minded. They've served him for the fishes and the loaves, but not for the cross. God preserved him. He kept him alive. He kept him alive. Not only did God keep him alive, but when he's 85, he is still as strong as the day that he went to spy out the land. I'm not even 40 yet, and I'm sore from preaching this message. But you know what? Some of these men in here, Brother Schultz, how old are you, Brother Schultz? 83. Caleb was 85. Still serving God. Brother Doyle, how old are you? 78. Caleb was 85. I could just see Brother Schultz going out here to this mountain sleeping chief and saying, that mountain's mine. I'm taking it right now. Caleb's 85 years old, and he points at a mountain and he says, I'm taking that one, Josh. 85 years, maybe I'm the only one that gets and understands that's a lot. He don't want a flat land. When I run, I don't like to run in mountains. That's more energy. I definitely don't want to go to war in a mountain. That's very tiring. Caleb doesn't choose a flat land, an ocean view. He says, I'll take the mountain. 85 years old. 85 years old. Because the Lord God has preserved him that even his strength as a 40-year-old is still in him at 85 years old. Oh, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He deserves it. Now look at this. He says in verse 12, he says, now therefore give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Whereof the Lord spake in the day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. And the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Wow. Give me this mountain, Joshua. And the Lord will be with me, and I'll go drive them out. You heard how the Anakims are there. Now, I want to show you who the Anakims are. You got your Bible? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 9, because I want you to see who the Anakims are. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 1. You there? It says, hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims. The people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard, say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Caleb doesn't just say, give me this mountain. He says, give me the mountain where the giants are. Caleb said, you heard about their cities, how big they are, their fenced cities, because these giants there. But if the Lord will be with me, then I'll go in there and I'll take that mountain. Do you realize that if the Lord be with you, who can be against you? Do you realize that if you wholly follow the Lord and you've been patiently waiting, that there is a time coming and you're patiently waiting and enduring the hardness of the circumstances, that you can say to the mountain, that's mine. Now listen, Caleb has waited so long that he doesn't even consider the circumstances. He's already endured 40 years of death. 45 years of death. So for him to see the mountain, he says, I'll take it. He doesn't just take any mountain. He takes the one that most people are afraid of. That even the children of Israel thought, how are we going to take that one? Caleb, an 85-year-old man. 85 years old. Says, by the power and the authority of God, who has promised him 45 years ago that that mountain would be his. And he took that mountain. The Bible says that God gave it to him as an inheritance. And the children of Anakim fell before an 85-year-old man because God was with him. Because he wholly followed God. Because he patiently waited. Because he patiently endured. He followed the Lord and God gave him his mountain. Now if I don't have time, but I'll just allude to it. It's a beautiful study. Caleb later on in the book of Judges. His property, he marries off his daughter to Othniel. And one of his daughters says, Daddy, I want the springs of water on the other side of the mountain. He's able to bless his children with his very own promise. He blessed his daughter with the springs on the other side of the mountain where the giants used to get water from. He blessed his daughter with that side of the mountain as an inheritance when she was married. Listen. How are you going to bless your family and your children if you're not obtaining the promises of God in your own life? Amen? How are you going to bless them? How are you going to give an inheritance? How are you going to leave anything behind if you're not possessing what God has for you? Amen? If you're not possessing it. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Help us, Lord, to have the patience that is needed to endure. Help us, God, to have the endurance to handle it. Father, I pray for your anointing to finish the service this morning. I pray, God, that you will minister to hearts and lives. Father, I've poured my heart out as you've given to me. I pray, Lord, that now we would respond correctly. That we would respond correctly. What good is your word, Lord, without a right response? Without the right response. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to first talk to the person who might not be wholly following God. Maybe this morning you find yourself in that situation. You might have followed him at one time, but you could say right now you're not wholly following him like you should be. Maybe you've been on the fence. You've been riding the fence. You've been in, you've been out. You've been up, and then you've been down. And the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you right now, and he's asking you to respond. To respond to his word. How can I wholly follow the Lord? You first begin by telling him you're sorry for not wholly following him. That's how you begin. And then after that, when everything is made right there between you and God, you'll feel the peace of God in your heart. And after that, God makes it easy to keep following him. And I want to ask you, do you want that this morning? Do you want to wholly follow him? I want to wholly follow him. Caleb endured because of a promise he was given. Are you enduring because of the promise he's given you? Maybe you would say, yes, Pastor, that's me this morning. There's been some times that I've not really followed as I should have, and that's been me. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please, in reverence. This is not a tattletale session, but this is a chance to respond. All I want you to do is just slip your hand up right now. Nobody's looking, just between me, you, and the Lord. There's one hand. Go ahead and put it back down. There's three, four, five hands going, 6 hands. 7 hands. Just put them up, back down, please. Back up, back down. Anybody else right now? I feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit. I feel the drawing of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I don't want to raise my hand because if I raise my hand, you'll know where I'm at. What made you think that the Lord didn't know where you were at? Oh, just slip it up right now and say, that's me. A lot of hands were raised. I feel a sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to belabor it anymore. Let's just fill these altars right now. If you felt the Lord dealing with you in any way, in any shape or form, I want you to come. Would you come right now? Fill these altars with your heart. Come right now. If you raised your hands, I most definitely want you in these altars. But if you just feel like you need to come to the altar, you come right now. I need altar workers helping me. Come down here. Seek the face of God right now. Seek the face of God. Seek his face. Seek his face. Father, we need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. Hallelujah.